Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for being with us, and thanks to Gugu. It's lovely to have her back in Johannesburg. We'll be together until 10 today. So, my goodness, Gugu and I were speaking about a story that I'll be talking to my colleague Pitso Mulumane on. This is the most bizarre story. So let me just sort of run it down by you again. So you know how the Department of Education asks parents to apply for their grade 8s and the grade 1 learners. If you are going to have a student who's going to be in grade 8 in the following year, start applying now. You remember how that works with all the online applications. And it turns out this was the case. And parents in one particular area in Tshwane applied, and they were offered a place in a school. The parents, they say, they were not aware of the school's existence, but they were assured, no, it's a new school, it's going to be nearby, and so they accepted. It's about 600 parents, well, at least accommodating 600 students. It turns out at the beginning of the year, the school was non-existent, but there was a particular area that was earmarked for the school. The parents went to see this place. They were okay with the location and were told that there will be temporary schools that will be put up. They were also told that they can, start attending at a nearby school. They were given, so there was an agreement between the department and this particular school to house these students until March. It's now March, and the parents are panicking because the particular place that was earmarked to particular school, nothing has happened. They don't know what's going to happen after the school holidays because they believe that the arrangement between the school that is housing them right now is going to expire. So I'm going to be speaking to my colleague who's been following the story behind the scenes, Pizomule, who's going to give us a sense of what has happened and what has transpired. The Department of Basic Education has responded. We'll also speak to one of the parents. You know, they have been talking to us behind the scenes, anxious as you can imagine. And so we'll get the behind the scenes on that story and see exactly where this is going to go. But I would say really quite disappointing. And hopefully we can try and see if things can be sped up so that children are able to learn in decent classrooms, at least. At the moment, they've been learning in a hall, all of 400 of them, sectioned in one hall. But it's not ideal, is it? And so what's all of this about? So we have given the department a right of reply. They have sent us a recording, so we'll also play that for you.
Point of View.
Discussing the world
on the street,
on the air,
and at kaya959.co.za.
Gosh, it's really unfortunate to have heard of the killings of five people at an informal settlement in Soshanguve, north of Pretoria, have left, you know, the community absolutely reeling. We just want to get a better understanding of what happened there. And I also want to bring in the Gauteng Premier spokesperson who accompanied also, I believe, the Premier, who went to see the community and had a conversation with them, but absolutely devastating. Perhaps let me just start with the Premier's office, Gauteng Premier spokesperson, and then we'll speak to community members there. Sizwe Phamla is on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Priya, and good evening to the listeners.
Mr. Phamla, you, I believe, the Premier went to visit the community. What did he find, and how did that visit go?
Well, firstly, the Premier met with members of the SAPS to just get a sense of what happened, but also the progress on the investigations. And after that, he met the representatives of community members there who briefed him on some of the issues that they are grappling with in that informal settlement. but also the Premier was able to visit the families of the slain patrollers to pay his condolences. At the end of the day, a decision was taken to say the issues are so diverse, are so nuanced, are so complex, that the Premier is going to go back, which means on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, the Premier will be taking his entire executive to then have a sit-down with community members to allow them to express the issues that they're dealing with there, and work with the municipal leadership to explore ways of intervening in that community.
It's still early days, Mr. Pamela. So we're not, as you said, you know, the issues are complex, that there are lots of diverse issues here. But from many who speak to us about what happened there, it seems like this is not an isolated type of complexity. In informal settlements, we're hearing this is sort of the kind of problems that people in informal settlements are faced with. Is there a plan to perhaps start here and do the same for other communities who are facing the same kinds of challenges?
Yeah, actually, the Premier has been doing this. It's unfortunate that in this situation we are interacting with this community after such a tragic event. But when it comes to informal settlements, the Premier has been doing this. I mean, we've been to areas like Swanevale, we've been to one of the informal settlements next to El Dorado Park, where the Premier has been taking members of the executive to visit these places. Because, look, the problem of informal settlement is firstly that these informal settlements are illegal, meaning that when it comes to delivery of services, the municipality is actually working on a plan to attend to those communities. And that plan does not necessarily involve delivering services, at least on a permanent basis, in the area that they are settled in. For an example, at Merimi, we were briefed that that area started to mushroom around 2011. And the people who were the first to invade that piece of land, we actually moved to a new RTP settlement. But after they left, new people came in and took over that area, meaning that as much as the municipality has been trying to address the influx of people in the province from other provinces and the SADC region, is one of those challenges that is really difficult to resolve, because while you have limited resources, you are also having this influx where every 5 years 1.5 million people come into this province. So it's one of those problems or challenges that the Premier has said time and again that it will not be resolved by one layer of government. It will need all layers of government, from national, provincial, local government, to work together to make sure that they pull up the resources to resolve these challenges.
But what would a resolution look like?
Look, firstly, the Premier was very clear in addressing the community, in addressing the community leaders, in addressing the SAPS. Mm-hmm. It was that what cannot be tolerated is lawlessness. That's the first thing, that long before you sit down and have conversations about what is it that is needed to help these communities. Mm. The issue of policing and lawlessness is something that has to take priority, to say, look, SAPS in social movement is stressed. It's obvious, because there are many of these areas. And when Premier Lesufi came in 2022, after diagnosing what were some of the biggest challenges facing the province, especially when it comes to crime prevention, the issue of numbers was one of those issues that was identified. To say in Gauteng, if you combine all law enforcement agencies, there's one police officer for every 541 citizens. If you look at an urbanized area like this one, those numbers do not look good. So you do have instances where you have got police stations like Social Work that are stressed to the limit. It doesn't necessarily mean, as the Premier has made it very clear, that there are no internal weaknesses within the police force itself that needs to be rectified and corrected. But also there is an appreciation that in some of these areas like Social Work, there's a lot more support that needs to be sent there to support the law enforcement agencies in the area. So that is one of the areas that Premier has made it very clear that he is going to be exploring, to say what kind of support is needed by the police stations in the area. And in the terms of just numbers, but also whatever kind of support that they think they need, which is really something that he has been emphasizing, to say if we're going to talk about giving support to the family, we need to separate criminal behavior from people who are actually struggling with the services. So the issue of pursuing the perpetrators, the issue of finding out who are some of these syndicates who are implicated in collecting money, some of that collection borders on extortion. So those are the issues that need not be negotiated. If people are breaking the law, you cannot then allow that to be a point of discussion. There are laws, and the laws have to be respected. So that is one area that Premier made it very clear that is non-negotiable.
If we hone in a little bit on the criminality element, and we speak of what the Premier has done to bring in some effective law, intensifying law enforcement in the province. We know of the cameras that were installed not so long ago, and things like the introduction of amapanyaza, as they are fondly referred to. And those primarily would be in areas that are in townships that are established in the suburbs, the cameras and so on. But has there been, in your view, sufficient attention to these, even though they are illegal, these informal settlements?
Indeed, if you go back to the idea of TIF, which is township hostels, informal settlements, CPTs, that have been added. Informal settlements, indeed, there is an effort that has been put forward to actually try to not just police them, but to also see what kind of support can be brought to those communities. For example, if you look at Social Movement itself, at a local level, the municipality was actually on the Merimbi informal settlement. The municipality was on the verge of convening a meeting there just before this incident at a local level to go and have conversations with community members to hear them and also to give them a feedback, because at the end of the day, an informal settlement is something that will have to be formalized. And the question is whether piece of land that they are occupying, is it firstly the piece of land that the municipality is intending to utilize for that formalization process, but also is it even suitable for people to stay there permanently? So all layers of government, what has happened over the last couple of months is that the Premier has been trying to make sure that there is synergy when it comes to these kinds of intervention. It means that the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing. For example, we did have a municipal turnaround summit that was convened by a provincial co-opter to have a conversation about what are some of the challenges facing municipalities and how can we collectively work together as all layers of government to actually resolve some of these problems. And as recently as the SOAP, the Premier made it very clear that when it comes to policing in the province, to make sure that all of the resources that are available are utilized efficiently. And an MOU is about to be formalized where all the municipalities are going to make available their law enforcement units, which means it's one, for an example, if it feels that it is getting overwhelmed by what is happening at Merimbi, as an example, it means they can activate Johannesburg municipality metropolis officials, they can activate metropolis to go and assist there where they do have operations, which means that we're trying to eliminate the borders. So these are some of the efforts on both policing the informal settlement, but also on giving them the necessarily services that they need as communities in Gauteng.
Mr. Pamela, the issue of formalizing the informal settlements, I mean, the Premier has spoken about it for quite some time. I would say from when he arrived, when he first gave his State of the Province. Where is the issue? As you were saying, you know, part of the work is to make sure that all spheres of government collaborate and work together. Why is it sort of a difficult wheel to start turning? In your view, where's the stumbling block?
Well, clearly, Sophie has made it very clear to say formalizing informal settlement does not necessarily mean that the government actually supports the integration.
Yeah.
There is a conversation that we need to have.
Yeah.
So, firstly, land invasion is not acceptable. And it's something that is not going to be tolerated, because there is no local government or provincial government, for that matter, that can deliver the services in a manner that it intends to if people do as they please and they break the laws. So the issue of illegal invasion of land is something that is a big problem, and it's something that the province, working with other spheres of government, is opposed to and is trying to rectify. But also understanding that once people are here, like I said, the state saw that 1.5 million, which is equivalent of a new Soweto that comes into Gauteng every 5 years. It means that these informal settlements are a reality. And some of these people, by the way, are not South Africans, which means they come from the SADC region and surrounding countries. Now, that on its own is going to pose a number of challenges, because while government is very much committed to ensuring that South Africans, they get whatever is it that is due to them in terms of, for example, say, RTP houses. Government isn't going to be heading over RTP houses to people who stay in formal settlements, who are from the neighboring countries, for example. So you then have this situation, like I said, at Mirimi, where in 2011, people going to that place. The municipality comes in and says, okay, we have a sense of how many people are here. We think that we have a plan, and we're going to build our houses somewhere, and we will move you there. And then a new group moves in. Some of it are South Africans, some of it are non-South Africans. So the issue of formalization of settlement is much more complex, in a sense that whatever it is that government is trying to do, at the end of the day, there are limits as to how far it can really resolve this question, especially without addressing the issue of land invasion.
Yes.
Because if, for example, you can have 50% of people in an informal settlement who come from outside of the country, then the question is, what is government expected to do in terms of correcting the situation of that nature?
I suppose a difficulty for many is that, yes, we all know what the law says about removing these people once they've settled. But the issue is, why is there no quick response when someone attempts to settle in the first place? Because that may support the efforts of government in trying to make sure that you manage the number of places that are invaded illegally. Because you obviously know the difficulties that come with the fact that once they're there, it's also quite difficult to move them. So many of these happen in plain sight. What's so difficult about at least alerting one another that this is happening and we should try and stop it? You spoke about the fact that in 2011 there was there was activity. You moved some people, they were moved to homes, but then others came and invaded again. So in that interim, why are we failing to at least halt it before the actual informal settlements mushrooms?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that Premier Sophie has been trying to show that there's a lot of cooperation. Because, for example, the province will be responsible for looking after provincial parcels of land. And municipalities will also be looking after their own parcels of land. Now, when it comes to cooperating and ensuring that, that there is a quick response, it means that all of these efforts have to be reconciled. There has to be a way of working together. Already, there are systems in place that have been put together. There is a system actually that was adopted by the province that uses satellite imagery to monitor land invasion, which means when you people are settling in a piece of land that is not designated for settlement, the government is able to respond efficiently. And now, when Pino was talking about introducing the crime wardens, one of the issues that he constantly articulated was that, look, out of these people that we are employing, a group of them is going to be trained as an anti-land invasion force, which means the issue of a force multiplier, like I said, when you don't have enough numbers, if you have one police officer for every 541 citizens, it means you are going to need more manpower on the ground to be able to achieve. So the introduction of wardens actually was one of the interventions that the premier made it very clear when it was introduced. Look, we are going to take something like 1,000 of these young people, and we are going to train them so that they are just available to be a response team that will be available anytime something of this nature happens. And now, with the improvement in cooperation between all law enforcement units in the province, it means that there is hope that both the local and provincial government will be able to respond much more faster and much more efficiently in really stopping people from invading illegally the parcels of land that belongs to the state.
All right, so the Premier is going back on Wednesday, is it? As you said.
Yes, indeed. The Premier is set to go back with his entire executive, the entire ISCO, to have a meeting at 5 o'clock to listen to community members and see what what is possible.
Yes.
Because the reality is that the province isn't going to do anything on its own. It means that the municipality has to be roped in and also sit around the table to listen to what are some of the issues that are emerging and what are the immediate interventions that are possible.
All right. Sizwe Phamla, thank you so much for your time. Gauteng Premier spokesperson Tshepo Molefane is a local councillor in that area. I appreciate your time, and I know that, Mr. Molefane, you were listening to the conversation. Good evening and welcome. Mr. Molefane, I don't know if you, I mean, you're alive on our side. I don't know if you can hear me. Mr. Molefane?
Hello.
How are you, Mr. Molefane? Okay, thanks for making time for us. I'm sure you were listening to the conversation with the Premier spokesperson. Just maybe, first of all, condolences to your community. And please pass our condolences also to the families of the people who lost their lives. How is the situation currently?
I think currently the situation is very bad. The residents are living in fear. At the same time, they are mourning the passing of their patrollers. So the situation is very currently as we speak in our area.
You're a councillor in that area, Mr. Molefane. Just from your experience and some of the challenges that you've put forward to our reporters and so on, what could be done immediately to start easing the tension in the area?
I think what could help at this stage is to have a high number of police visibility in there. That is number one. And number two is that from the side of the municipality, what we need is to do a check on the people who are residing in those shacks. Because I think the problem is that we are having a high number of shacks in that area, and we don't have a list of the people who are staying there. That also, I think, it's something that needs to be done urgently.
Mr. Molefane, you're saying high number. Give me an estimate of how big the community is. How many dwellings are there?
I think we've got more than 860 shacks. Yeah, so we need to relook into checking who is staying those. That is what is causing us a problem, because you can't have an area whereby we don't know the residents of that area, because also those people, they don't know each other. I think that is what is causing also the problem. We've got a lot of people who are undocumented, so it's causing us a problem, that thing.
The area, as as Mr. Pamla was saying, is in itself an illegal settlement. How are you going to resolve that when actually nobody should be there?
You know, I think Mr. Pamela has said some years back, we had, in fact, the founders of that informal settlement, the people who first stayed there, they were relocated. They were relocated to formal.
Yes.
And the land was owned by a private owner. But now the land belongs to the city. The city has bought it up in 2016. The land now is owned by the city, and the city has got its own terms of developing there. In fact, as we speak, the process now it's at an advanced stage whereby we are waiting for, I think, one comment from the approach to this. I mean, yeah, to the city, the grid, because that area is connected by a provincial road, Hebron Road, who waiting for the comment from the Department of Roads, if a green light is given, of which I think they might have just given it because agency of human settlement already before the incident happened had a scheduled meeting to that in settlement on the 4th of April.
I think that line is not holding. Mr. Malefani? Okay.
Yes, I'm saying, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you really, your line is not holding very nicely. Maybe if you can move around for us, Mr. Malefani.
Okay.
It's sounding much better, yes. You are saying that, you know, plans were afoot and you are at an advanced stage. You're waiting for Department of Roads.
Yes, they were waiting for the comments from the Department of Roads to give them a green light. Remember, when you join roads, you don't just join roads. You must get permission from the relevant department.
So you speak of the fact that the original, the what you are calling the founders, were moved. You are obviously, I'm assuming if you live in the area, you are one of those who also came into this community illegally.
No, not illegally. I'm not residing in Merimi.
You're not residing. You're a ward councillor for which area? Including
Merimi. For ward 89.
Okay.
Including
Merimi.
Ward 89.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, in my ward, I've got 7 informal settlements.
Yes.
But I'm not trying from an area that is situated next to Merimi.
So Mr. Malefani, as you're saying, you know, you've got a few informal settlements in your ward. In general, at high level, apart from what you were saying, you know, high police visibility, we heard what Mr. Pamla said. When you look at the numbers, it does become a challenge when you look at how many people are taken care of versus the number of police that are available. Just high level, your sense of what is possible, knowing the facts about you know, how many police officers are available and the capacity of the police as it stands right now.
Can you come again? I couldn't understand the question.
Yeah. I'm trying to say, when you look at the fact that you had a community that had organized patrollers, for instance, to try and secure itself, and when we also look at the fact that, well, it's just not possible to give you all the police that you require to secure the area, what do you think can then be done? I know that you said you need high police visibility. It may not be sustainable.
Yeah, I think there are a number of issues that need to be looked at. Remember, you recall that the crime is not only rife in social media.
Yes.
In fact, in South Africa, the stats of crime is growing daily. So the issue of patrolling is an issue that most communities have adopted so that they can assist the SAPs in terms of curbing crime. So, but I think our provincial government, together with the municipality, needs to look at a number of issues, like of installing, like the premier introduced smart cameras where each and every township has got cameras, surveillance cameras that are being looked after 24 hours. So those are one of the issues that we really needed from our settlement, because we can't live without having such, because like I said, crime is a very rife this nowadays in Soshanguve. So I think the issue, in as much as we might have a shortage of subs,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that, yes, but we need to make an excuse of saying because the lack of we've got a low number of police officers, therefore it should be an excuse of crime, something that we should not actually tolerate. But in fact, we should introduce a system of patrollers where they work with subs on daily basis, and there's a clear system that they use to communicate with subs in terms of the response. I think what we need to do now,
mm-hmm.
subs needs to come up with an idea that will assist communities in terms of how they respond whenever they are being called by patrollers, because patrollers are not carrying guns.
Mm-hmm.
They've just some of them have a basic training
mm-hmm.
of security. Yes, so they're not like police officers whom undertook a training.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to subs need to look into this issue in terms of how they assist in communicating with patrollers,
mm-hmm.
because I think if their response would be quick, it could be easier for patrollers to work with subs in terms of caring time.
I'm wondering if you're going to be present at the meeting on Wednesday, Mr. Malefane. Are you going to be there?
Yes, we'll be there on Wednesday.
All right. What we will do, we would really like to hear from you to see if there was any, you know, anything that came out of that meeting that is going to help us go forward. But again, our condolences to your community as well. And hopefully we'll speak after the meeting on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tsepo Malefane is a local councillor in that area. I just want to take a call from Mpo in Soshanguve as well. Mpo, you want to also comment on the killings. Good evening and welcome. Mpo, hello and welcome. Good evening, Mpo. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Please go ahead, Mpo.
Yeah, no, this thing of marry me, it doesn't start now, man. I can't. Because I used to stay there, Miss Motari.
Okay.
There's extension 3, which is between Merimi and extension 4. Kimo Motari. I used to rent there because my person who is totally blind. So me and my wife is there. We stayed there Motari.
Yeah.
The reason I've moved last month, there was a taxi that was going in there and robbing people. You know, the taxi will come at Quantum and you. And then when we came back from work, they took my laptop, Lena Shipi, and my wife's laptop, and they took everything we had. Because marry me, it's a place where everybody knows, even the councillor knows. Even when you want to order something, Uber, taxis, and what, they don't get into marry me because they know marry me is up. And then the other thing will happen, even our country and the police, the reason that I'm saying they know we are getting hurt because of them, because of Makana, and there's a tavern on the street, right on the street, but Makana, it doesn't close. And there's another tavern, Kamara, and then that go rocks, 6 to 6. And the police know that. The police know Makana and Malavaswali, and they know go rocks about Swali. And they knew over today the disability grant, the people are going to get that grant and they want to come back this time. Then they targeted us like that every day. Because this was the end. That Guri is down here in me. It won't end because of the police who are about to have a look and go near me.
Kurwani
ako, Kotumako, Kotribis, Kuyako, Kumirimi, Le Extension 4, Elemo Pilatri, Mumakana anymore. It's not safe. Anytime, but I'm about from 6 o'clock. Once it starts to get dark, you know what else it is. When you pass there, they want to take your phone, they want to take it. It's not safe, and everybody knows. Even our council knows it. Very much not safe. They have any operation 24 hours, which they rule just Africa, it was one like a two. It's one like a month.
My
kind of one like a month. And mostly on the street. So there's no Barrel Mapunji Avabun. Or right on the main road.
No, thank you. No, Papa, and I think that's, for me, that's the thing. You know, I know that we want to talk. The question is, what are the solutions? I'm not sure I'm hearing the solutions, and I'm hoping that on Wednesday things can be fleshed out a bit more.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.